Hey everybody, Tim Evanicki here with The College Audition, back again with another episode of The College Audition Podcast. My special guest today is Jessica Doyle-Mekas, Head of Musical Theater at East Carolina University. Thanks so much for joining us, Jessica.
Thank you so much for having me.
So we always like to get to know the person before the program. So if you would please give us a little bit about your background, your career, your training that led you up to your time at East Carolina.
Sure, absolutely. So I have a BFA in musical theater performance from Central Michigan University, which I got more than a few years ago. And following that, I worked as a performer all around the United States, as you do when you're a young performer, and ended up taking a contract working for a theater company in South Korea. And while I was there, I started just sort of offering voice lessons to the other members of the company and got pretty interested in working with voices and coaching voice, and didn't know a whole lot pedagogically beyond what I had done myself as a singer. And so I ended up connecting with a wonderful man named Michael Goodrich, who is a wonderful voice coach in Los Angeles. And we worked together via Skype, and this is, you know, way pre-COVID, but via Skype, we were ahead of our time, for about a year. And he asked me, you know, what are you going to do when your contract is up? And I said, I have no idea. And he said, well, why don't you come to LA and you can basically apprentice with me? And so I said, sure, as you do when you're a young artist. And I went to Los Angeles, and that was where I really got started working with voices and coaching voice. I teach applied voice at ECU, and I teach both musical theater and rock pop vocal styles. And I was in LA for a while and ended up coming home. I'm originally from Michigan, and I opened a vocal studio of my own and grew it from one Craigslist ad to four teachers and hundreds of students weekly. And it was going really well, but I was in a serious relationship. I knew I wanted to have kids. And so I decided to go back to school to get my master's with the goal of teaching in higher ed. My parents are both college professors, they're both retired now. And I saw what a wonderful lifestyle it is and the opportunity to teach what I love at that level, at the university level, and also to have my summers free and to have a little bit easier of a schedule than being a small business owner was very attractive. So I have a master's in opera performance. And when I joke, because at the time there were just a few musical theater MFAs or master programs in the country, and none of them were where I was living in Michigan and where I had my business and my husband and I owned a home. And so the option was to get my master's studying classically. And so I got myself a voice teacher and I practiced my audition. And when I went to my first lesson, my voice teacher, who is my mentor, Tracy Watson, is a wonderful mezzo-soprano. She said, so what other rep do you have? And I was like, well, I have the songs I auditioned with. And she was like, well, okay. So we made it work. And I actually applied for the teaching position at East Carolina during the spring semester of my final year of graduate school, got the job, and I have been there since 2017.
Great. You mentioned that you teach applied voice at East Carolina University. Mm-hmm. For listeners who might not know what that means, could you explain what the term applied voice means?
Sure. So I teach voice lessons. So I teach one-on-one voice lessons with the musical theater students. I also teach a class called Intro to Musical Theater Voice, which is with all of our freshman musical theater majors, and I have them their entire freshman year. And we go over everything from basic anatomy and physiology to acoustics, how the voice works, why it does what it does, how to take care of it. I have created a partnership. We're lucky at ECU to have a medical school as part of our campus, and I have created a partnership with them and with the speech language pathology program that we have, that is a wonderful speech and hearing clinic at ECU, where their master's students come over and present to our students, and also where our cohort of freshmen is able to be screened when they come in the fall. For any red flags vocally that we want to get in front of and stay in front of that way. So I teach the one-on-one voice lessons, and then I teach a big vocal everything class all year, freshman year.
Great. And all right, so we'll start to break down the program now and ask some more specific questions.
Sure.
But the first thing I always like to do with my guest is ask them for their elevator pitch, their elevator speech for the program. 60 seconds or less, an overview of why ECU.
Sure, why ECU? We have conservatory style training at a Division I school. So you can get all of the top-notch training from world-class faculty and still have a big college experience. And I think that's what a lot of students are looking for. And until I'm out of time, the other thing is that we very uniquely in the School of Theater and Dance
have not timing you.
Okay. We very uniquely have a triple track dance BFA. So a jazz, modern, ballet dance BFA. And the musical theater students, we do not have separate dance faculty for them. So they're taking class with the BFA majors. And that is a huge draw, as dance is such an integral part of musical theater training. And we really have top-notch faculty. Dirk Lombard, who teaches tap for us, has a Broadway credit list a mile long. And we recently, our ballerina retired, Galina Panova, who was the original lead in On Your Toes on Broadway, and this very famous Russian ballerina. She's in all the books, all the history books that you read about. And our new ballet professor, my very good friend, Jessica Teague, was a prima ballerina in Europe for years. So we have really wonderful dance faculty in addition to acting and music faculty. But I think that's something that makes ECU truly unique, is that the level of dance training that is available to the musical theater students.
Mm-hmm. And so you have a BFA in musical theater. What other degrees are available there in theater and musical theater?
Sure. So the BFA is actually in theater arts, and then we have different concentrations. So we have a musical theater concentration. We have a professional acting concentration. We have a theater for youth concentration, design and production. We also have a theater ed degree, and we also have a BA in theater arts, which is more academically focused.
So somebody asked me, one of my clients actually asked me this question this year, and I'm not sure that I had 100% the correct answer in that, but there are a couple of schools that have a BFA degree in theater performance or theater arts or something of that like, and then you're able to take concentrations within it. What is the difference? Why? Let's just say why. Why that instead of different BFAs for each of those?
Sure. I'm not really sure why it's set up that way, to be honest with you. I know that
I didn't either.
Each concentration is audition entrance, just as a separate BFA would be. And we do allow on rare occasions students to double concentrate. So we do have several musical theater majors that had to audition for the professional acting program and were accepted on their own merit into that program. We have several students that have doubled in theater ed. It's a lot more. I mean, the MT concentration itself is 120 credit hours. And so when you add another concentration onto that, it usually means that you're staying a fifth year. But we do have students that want that training and want to double concentrate. And so they do that. We also have a minor. We have a brand new dance minor that started, I believe last year was the first year that it began, where if you're interested in taking additional dance courses, you can do that. We are housed in the School of Theater and Dance. We also have a School of Music separate at the university. And our students are able also to audition and pick up a music minor if they are interested in that, if they're interested in classical singing or doing some crossover work in that way. We have several students who have done that. And we also have a design and production minor if that is of interest to our students.
That's very interesting to be able to have an MT concentration with a minor in design and production. That's very interesting. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So since you are the head of musical theater, let's concentrate on the musical theater side of things today. And tell us what it would look like for a freshman BFA theater arts concentration in musical theater student. What does their first year look like?
Sure. Well, it starts with 8 a.m. ballet, which they all just love. No, it does start with 8 a.m. ballet. But your first year, you're taking a lot of your core classes. You take your voice lesson, you take intro to musical theater voice, you often take acting, you take your ballet class. They get some gen eds out of the way. The way our program is structured is that freshman year is very much prepping you for the next 2 years, where we sort of the meat and potatoes, shall we say, of our program are our musical theater technique classes, where we work through all of the major decades of musical theater, coaching, singing songs, scenes, duets, trios. So it's putting the three aspects of the triple threat all into one. And so your freshman year is really gearing up for that. On the voice side of things, I work really hard. We have students who come in a vast range of knowledge in terms of voice and singing. We have some students who have been taking voice lessons, since they were 8, and we have other students who came to it later. And so I really use that first year as a time to get everyone on the same page, to get everyone speaking the same language, so that they're all ready to move on into those tech classes together. We also offer their freshman year, they will take a musicianship class where they do ensemble singing, they work on songalogs, they work on basic music theory and harmony. Again, all of those core things that you need to then move on and start diving into the material.
So you just used a word we've never heard before on the podcast, songalogs.
Oh, okay.
Can you tell us what that means?
Sure. So a songalog is, and I like to say, as long as most of the time, the musical theater, the character doesn't know that they're singing, right? So they're just living their lives. The actor knows they're singing, the audience knows they're singing, but the character just has the text. And so songalogging is taking the lyrics, taking them out of rhythm, and performing them as a monologue to find the beats, to find the acting moments, to find the fulcrums or the turning points in the song, so that it's really being used as a monologue that just happens to be set to music.
Great. Talk to us about performance opportunities during their 4 years there.
Sure. So we allow, actually not just allow, require all of our students to audition for all of our university sponsored productions. So we are not a school where you're not going to get on stage or have the opportunity to get on stage until your sophomore year. Beginning their freshman year, we are doing all of our semester auditions at the beginning of the semester, and running them very much like a unified audition would be run. So it is open, it can be watched, and they will audition for the fall musical and the fall play and the Theater for Youth production all at once. And then the reason we changed from doing auditions individually to that group model is because we feel like it gives students more mental clarity on what their semester is going to look like. When you have a 120 credit degree program on top of wanting to be involved in the many, many RSOs and student clubs that we have, on top of some of our students have jobs, on top of just being in college, being away from home the first time, we found that it could be very overwhelming to students, particularly coming in as freshmen and sophomore, to be able to manage their time. And so we feel that doing that more unified audition at the beginning of the semester is then they'll know what they're cast in and they'll be able to manage their time accordingly. So we do McGinnis stage is our proscenium, and we do two musicals there every year. This upcoming year, we are doing Bright Star in the fall, and we are doing Swing in the spring. We just finished doing Head Over Heels, and we did Pippin. That was our season this year. And we also do two plays. Coming up next year, we're doing Intimate Apparel, which is actually being directed by one of our graduating seniors this year. Very talented Jessica Crenshaw, one of our very talented seniors, is being brought in, and she was hired. It's her first professional directing gig, and she is directing Intimate Apparel on our stage, so that's very exciting. And then in the spring, we are doing, oh gosh, now I'm forgetting what it is. It's not Sense and Sensibility. Cut this part out, because I don't remember what I'm saying.
Wait, we can still save this. I'm not cutting it out. We can still save it.
I'm trying to remember what our other show is. Hang on. I could tell you. 1 second.
Not Sense and Sensibility. That doesn't narrow it down very much. So.
No, it does not. No, that's not helpful. That's not terribly helpful. Just a moment. It's by the same playwright that we did Sense and Sensibility. Hold on. Now I have to Google it.
That Reed did Sense and Sensibility.
Taking a year. There we go. Well, while I'm looking, I'll tell you, this summer...
The suspense is killing us.
Which is another cool performance opportunity for a lot of our students. We have brought back summer theater. Professional summer theater has not been at ECU for over a decade. It used to be done a lot, and it was a really wonderful opportunity to bring in professional actors. Laura Linney was on our stage at one time, and we lost funding for it, and now Jamie Host, our wonderful director of the School of Theater and Dance, has brought it back. And we are doing Mamma Mia this upcoming summer, which is very exciting. And the ensemble is, I believe, completely made up of our students. So they will have the opportunity to work with the professional actors that we are bringing in and to get paid to do summer theater here at ECU. So that's pretty cool. And I'm still looking for what the for what the show is.
Do you have requirements of the students not only to be on stage but fulfill any technical requirements as part of the regular MT concentration?
Yes, we do. So in their tech classes, they have to do crew for the shows. If they are a theater ed major, I believe they have to stage manage or assistant manage a show, and the musical theater students have to do crew. Yes, so that is their crew hours are part of their classes. Yes.
Great. Well, we will move on, and if Google comes through for you, just shout it out.
Okay, very good.
And we'll come back to it. Talk to us about the ability to either minor or even double major in other areas.
Sure. So as I already mentioned, we offer a dance minor, which is new. We also offer the ability to, it's by audition, but our students can minor in music. Which is held in the School of Music itself, but that allows them to take more music theory classes. They have an additional voice lesson. If they're interested in crossing over into some classical singing, they can do that. And as I said before, we have a minor in design and production as well. We have had students, I believe I have one musical theater major right now who is also very interested in costuming. And so she is taking that on.
Great. And if students are coming in with a lot of gen eds or already taken care of with APs or dual enrollment, does that open up the possibility for them to do more and take on those double majors?
Absolutely, yes. And that's something that I really encourage students to do, is to come in with a lot of gen eds. We love it when students do. I really love it. It's Pride and Prejudice. There we go. I found it.
Pride and Prejudice.
Yes.
There we go, folks.
There we go. We've got it. I'm with it.
Well, now I definitely can't just edit that, so it's just going to have to stay.
All right. Now I've lost my train of thought, Tim.
Students coming in with additional gen ed requirements from APs.
We love that. We love when they come in with gen eds or AP credits. I recommend a lot of times that your freshman summer, if it's, you know, of interest to you to get some of those gen eds out of the way, it's a really great thing to do because, one, most of the time students aren't as interested in their gen eds as they are in their theater classes. They're there to perform. They want to spend their time performing. Two, we have, in addition to the performance opportunities that I mentioned, the two musicals and the plays, Theater for Youth production, we do a storybook series, which brings in hundreds of elementary school students to see the storybook work. We have two dance concerts every year. And in addition to all of that, we also have Swish, which is an improv comedy group that is student run. We have Pirates Upon Avon, which is an outdoor Shakespeare for Youth student run organization. We have a brand new, the Black Makers is celebrating Black playwrights and Black artists. They just had their inaugural production last night, which featured an original play written by one of our sophomores, Acacia Sutton, written and directed by her. And then we have the Fifth Street Players, which is the student completely run, produced theater company at ECU, and they have done everything from, we did Island Song pre-COVID and actually brought in the composers. Carner and Gregor actually flew in to East Carolina and did a weekend of work with our cast on their show, which was very cool. They've put up Spring Awakening, they've put up Next to Normal, and it's really an awesome opportunity for the students, and it's also a very cool opportunity for the faculty because the work that they do is really top-notch, and it's really exciting to see the students step up in that way. So in a roundabout answer to your question, yes, if the more gen eds and things that you can get out of the way, I think the happier students generally are when they're in a performance program.
Great. So, notable alumni, I believe Sandra Bullock came out of there with a BFA in drama. But talk to us about any other notable alums or working students that you have.
Yes, absolutely. So right now, Yesenia Ayala is a graduate of ours. She was Anita in the most recent production of West Side Story on Broadway, and was also in the movie, the Spielberg West Side Story that just came out. Marisha Wallace is a graduate of our musical theater program. She's done a whole lot of wonderful work on the West End, in addition to being in the original Broadway company of Something Rotten. She just signed with Universal Decca Records, with a global record deal, and she's playing Motormouth Maybelle in Hairspray in the West End, which is really phenomenal. More recently, since I've been there at least, Daniel Fetter was in the national tour of the Book of Mormon, and he's now in the Broadway company of the Book of Mormon. And we have alums working at regional theaters throughout the country. I'm very proud of that, our senior class, I think every single one of them graduating has either chosen to go to grad school or is employed in their discipline coming out of school. So I'm very, very proud of that.
Great. So ECU is in Greenville, North Carolina, if I'm not mistaken.
It is.
Could you tell us a little bit about the area where the college is? The students like to know what there is to do in the area and sort of what college life looks like for them.
Sure. So yes, we are in Greenville North, not Greenville South. Big distinction between those two. So I really love living in Eastern North Carolina. We are directly between Raleigh and the beach. So it's about an hour and some change to Raleigh, and it's about an hour and some change to the beach. So we have a lot of students who work for the North Carolina Theater in Raleigh, which is the semi-professional theater there. And it is very easy to head to the Atlantic Ocean for the day if you have a weekend or the day off. We're also about 20 minutes from a very cool little town called Washington, or lovingly referred to as Little Washington here, with Washington, D.C. being the big Washington, which is on the water. It's on the Pamlico Sound. There's kayaking and sailing and a really lovely waterfront and marina and a park there. So I know the students often go over there to unwind. We are a college town, for sure. Greenville has the university, and we have a very large hospital, which our medical school works in conglomeration with. And other than that, it's not a large city. It's kind of like a suburb, but we're an hour from Raleigh, or an hour and a half from Raleigh. We keep our students really busy, and so a lot of them are often not lacking for things to do just on campus and in their discipline. But we also have a really wonderful rec center. We have a man-made lake as sort of another part of our rec center that has kayaking and paddleboarding and those kinds of things. We have awesome weather. And I say that as someone who moved here from the Midwest. It is sunny. If it's not sunny, you notice. That's how sunny it is. And in fact, it was like we had an unusually cool and rainy spring, and there were like 2 weeks where it was cold, and I was like, what is going on? And it was such a weird thing. If you're from the north, you'll think it's really funny, because if there's even like the threat of snow, the university closes, which I think is hysterically funny as someone who had to literally dig her car out of the parking lot when I was in college, but classes were never canceled. Occasionally it snows, not very often, usually like once. This year it did, and there were a lot of students down uptown at the park sledding on laundry baskets and cafeteria trays, and I think I saw a plastic pool going down the hill. We have a lovely we have a great park system. We have a paved path called the Greenway, which I believe is about 7 miles long. A lot of biking and walking and rollerblading and things go on there. A really nice park system. We have a riverfront that brings in concerts and things, usually in the spring. It's a great town. It is a college town. I mean, it is. I think if you're here for college, you're going to have a good time. And if you're here for a BFA in musical theater, you're going to have a good time, but you're going to be really busy doing theater things too.
All right, let's switch gears now and talk about the audition process.
Sure.
Tell us, just give us an overview first of your audition process. Start with, do you pre-screen?
We do. We pre-screen through Accepted, through the paper mill sort of pre-screen that most schools have adopted. So it's a pre-70s musical theater cut, a post-70s musical theater cut, a monologue, a dance, and then your wild card. So if students are using Accepted, we are part of that. We usually pre-screen about 300 students. And then we select 50 to come to campus. We hold our on-campus auditions, at least we did this past year, which was the first time in a couple of years, thanks to COVID. But we hold them in February, in early February, so that the students have the opportunity to see our spring musical. And we invite 50 students to campus. They do all of the usual audition things. They sing monologue, we put them through a dance. We do an interview with them about why ECU, why do they want to come here, what are they hoping to get out of the experience,
We have an opportunity for parents and anyone who comes with them to ask questions. We introduce our faculty. We introduce an array of students that they get to spend some time with and get to know and get a feel for the program. There is a facilities tour, and then they are invited to see the show that evening. From those 50, we fill our class with 14. And that is pretty much it. We don't take more than 14. We will on occasion accept transfer students. We have had students for one reason or another decide to leave the program, which is rare, but it does happen. And when there is a spot like that, we do consider transfer students. I believe we have two right now within the whole cohort of musical theater who came in from other programs and for whatever reason decided to leave their program and join ours. So yeah, that's what the process looks like.
Great. So I'm hearing this right. Your live auditions after the pre-screens are always on campus?
They are, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Great. And you do that because you want people to make sure that they're, or you want absolutely to make sure that the people are fully interested. And
yes, absolutely. We want to make sure they know what they're getting themselves into. We want to make sure that they get a feel for us. We get a feel for them. We are very proudly, I would say, we demand a lot, but we also give a lot. Mm-hmm. So in the past, our program has been described as sort of being a family or having this family feel to it. I don't know that it's so much a family as it is, it's really a community. And it's not a cut program. We don't cut. You do have juries, as you do in most musical theater programs, and reviews at the end of each semester. But we really try to have an environment that has healthy competition and constructive criticism, and where we are really celebrating great work and picking each other up when need be, as opposed to a sort of more cutthroat competitive environment.
Yeah. I hear so many people use that term cut program, but I mean, I'm a college coach that works with 50 to 70 students every year and works with mm-hmm. all the programs, and I'm not sure I really know of a cut program anymore that is okay. That does it in the way people think that a cut program mm-hmm. works. So it's interesting that those have sort of gone away or phased out.
Sure. Well, that's great.
Yeah. So you did go over some of these numbers already, but let's put them all right close together.
Sure.
About how many pre-screens do you receive?
We receive about 300 pre-screens.
And you accept 50 to come on campus?
Correct.
Great. And from those 50, you're looking for an incoming class of?
14.
14. And to mm-hmm. get those 14, approximately how many offers do you make?
Let's see. We had a wait list. Our current class, we had a wait list of two, and I believe both of the students that were on the wait list are now in the program. So we usually about somewhere less than 20, I would say, something like that. Most students who are accepted end up coming.
That's really great. Mm-hmm. That's really, really great numbers for you guys. Congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you.
And so if you want to be one of those 50 that are invited to a live audition, what are the qualities that they need to have? What are you looking for when you watch those pre-screens?
Sure. There's an old adage that says when you audition, you know, you have about 10 seconds to catch somebody's attention before they move on. I think that holds so true, particularly when you have hundreds of pre-screen videos to go through. We are looking for somebody who, right off the bat, it's like, I want to watch more. So I would highly advise high school students to, when you're putting your songs together, when you're making your cuts and things, start big, engage me right away. I was at a master class last year and the clinician said, imagine whenever you're auditioning, imagine someone is walking away from you and you have to get them to turn around and pay attention, you know, mm-hmm. and that's what I look for, is I want something that is immediately attention grabbing. Another thing I would say is, give me the song that you can nail all the time. Don't give me the song that you can hit every other Thursday in the shower, right? So I want to know not only this is your best work, but it's your best work consistently. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times students feel like they have to go in and belt the highest note they can possibly belt, or give me the biggest coloratura that they could possibly give me. And that's so not the case. What I'm so much more interested in is if all of the notes that you are singing are really solid, where that D you hit is so solid that I don't have a question that I want to call you back and see if you have an F. I think a lot of times students come in and they feel like they need to sing a certain way, or they need to be a certain way, and it gets in the way of them showing what is unique about them. That's something we are very big on at ECU, is finding unique individuals. Pat Goodwin, who is a wonderful casting director for TELSI, is a friend of mine. And he spoke to our students, and we have a young woman who just graduated and actually is booked for like the next year, but she's 4'11". She's very petite. And she said to him, you know, she goes, what about the misfits? What about me? What about, you know, I don't really fit the mold. And he said to her, he goes, I love the misfits. He goes, there's nothing I love more than showing a director someone that they had never thought about for a particular role. And I think we look at that too, that we're not looking for cookie cutter. We're not taking like three blondes and two redheads and so on and so forth. We're really looking for 14 individuals who have different gifts. We're looking for diversity. We're okay with students who perhaps haven't studied as long. We have a lot of students who came in, who came to the art form later and had a lot of raw talent and really flourished in our program. I think we're very good with those students. ECU as a school is very supportive of first generation college students, and that's something that we are also very supportive of. So that idea of uplifting and meeting you where you're at, as long as you're putting in the work, we're going to meet you. The other things we look for in an audition, I would say, is you want someone who you want to spend 4 years with. Obviously, we're all going to spend a lot of time together. So talent is part of it. But the other part of it is things like work ethic, honesty, kindness, being humble but confident. The idea that if I'm going to invest my time in you, you're going to show up. You're going to want to be there. You're going to want to do the work. And I think that is equally, if not more important, than the talent aspect.
And do you feel like you get that the feel for that from the students from their wildcard video?
I do. Yeah, I think a lot of times you can. We've seen some really cool wildcards. We saw, I think, Mouth Ping Pong was one of the ones that I remember the best. It was, he was playing ping pong with somebody, but they were doing it with like, I don't know if that was one of your students, but I remember I was like that's just so interesting. Like, it was really funny. I love that. I love the really unique wild cards that give us a sense of someone's personality. We saw, we've seen students put makeup on, you know, do a drag makeup application. And I think that gave a really wonderful sense of personality. Obviously, if you play an instrument or if you write songs or things like that, that's wonderful to see as well. But I love a wild card that stands out because it makes you stick in my brain more. Mm,
of course. Awesome. Well, last question that I always end our podcast with. Tell us something you're looking forward to.
Ooh, I'm in Mamma Mia this summer, so I'm very much looking forward to that. I'm playing Rosie, and it will be my first time on stage in 5 years since coming to ECU. I came to ECU, I was pregnant with my first daughter. I have two daughters, and so I've been raising babies, and then COVID. So I'm very, very excited to get on stage, and I'm working with a bunch of my seniors who just graduated, and even a couple of our rising sophomores and juniors in the show. So I'm really looking forward to that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today and telling us all about your wonderful program over there at ECU.
Thank you so much for having me.
And if people want to get in touch and ask some more questions, what's the best way for them to do that?
Sure. So they can visit theaterdance.com. ecu.edu. And that is our website and has all of the information and the contact on it. One other thing I want to plug real quickly is this summer, we are having our first musical theater, week-long musical theater intensive for high school students. It's called The Edge at ECU. It is running from July 23rd through the 30th. And we are looking for 8th grade through rising seniors. And we're doing a week of training with our faculty, a performance showcase on our main stage. We're bringing in some really wonderful guest artists, doing fun things like Broadway karaoke, and you're housed in the dorms, and it's going to be a really wonderful program. And if you are from out of state, out of the area, we do have a small and extremely accessible airport right here in Greenville. So registration is open through June 15th, and you can find out about that at theedge@atecu.com.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, thank you so much once again, and we look forward to seeing you again around here real soon.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Tim.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
For more information on the exciting training workshops and masterclasses offered by The College Audition, please visit us online at www.thecollegeaudition.com or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.